is not for an adult audience. Bloodline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yep, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and he's in Who Cares right now. Where are you, Drew?
Atlanta.
What are you doing in Atlanta?
I'm going to interview a guy that's doing research on male versus female brains. You're going to love this. In response to, like, pornography, doing functional MRI scans and seeing how differently the brains react.
Have you done it yet?
No, I'm doing it tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning. But I've seen their research. That's why I wanted to come out here and do this.
Why do they have a functional MRI in Atlanta and we don't have one here?
I think they have one up at Stanford, but this is Emory University. These are research tools. They're not going to sit you in it for some sort of, you know.
Well, all I'm saying is this is Los Angeles. Can't UCLA or USC get one?
Well, let's get to work on that, huh?
Well, I'm just saying, you got to go to Atlanta?
I do. Yeah.
Atlanta?
Atlanta.
All right.
Well, they publish the good stuff, too. They publish all the interesting papers. So
all right, I'm just saying, if it was New York, you know, I wouldn't say anything. But then you got L.A. I mean, research equipment should go to, you know, market size.
Big cities.
Yeah, New York gets the best stuff. L.A. gets second best. Atlanta's, you know, they're number 14.
Okay. All right. Well, they stepped up. They got ahead of the pack for some. I had an interesting experience right now. I'm at this radio station. They have the crappy coffee like everyone. And they have a little machine there. You know those machines you used to put a penny in and twist it around and get like a gum?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Well, now you put a quarter in, you get like a fistful of M&Ms. And there was something truly satisfying about that. Now, you pay 60 cents for a bag, and it's sort of an awkward amount. You know what I mean?
What an awkward amount.
There was something really satisfying about getting that handful for a quarter. It was exactly what I wanted.
No? Well, you know, maybe that's all you need.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, at this time of night, you just want to crunch into a couple of sweet little round things for like 6 bites, and then you'll be satiated. But if they gave you a sack the size of a pillowcase, you would kill it in the next 10 minutes.
That's right. Having the handful and just putting the, you know, having it in my mouth, it was just exactly right. Something I was like, wow, I haven't stuck money in one of these machines since I was about 6.
Yeah, I like it when the nuts go rancid, and then you get the little avalanche of crumbs after the toffee nuts at the filling station. Kids don't know from vending. All right, you ready to go here, Drew?
Yeah, here we go.
You all right? All right, let me say something. When you see your functional MRI scans tomorrow of males and females, is it going to be good, or is it going to be one of those things that's supposed to be good but turns out to be boring?
The research they did, I actually aired their pictures on the Dennis Miller Show. I thought they were so interesting. They show the man's brain going crazy, the visual cortex, the amygdala, and then the appetite center is just going nuts. And the women, they report arousal. They sort of get a little bit of activity and then nothing. So arousal doesn't trigger drive in women, see?
Drive is appetite?
Yeah. There's no desire. They just get arousal and, oh, isn't that interesting?
And when you say appetite, I know you don't mean being hungry, but is it the same part?
Same part of the brain.
Works the hunger?
Yes, same area.
Is it the same part of your brain that says, I need something to drink, I need something to eat, I need a cigarette, I need some booze, you know, I need to gamble? Is it that I need part of your brain?
The simple answer is yes. The specifically the thirst and hunger part is more specifically than the booze and cigarette part. But yes, it's all kind of tied together.
So in the male brain, it's just, I see that, I want that, I need that.
I see that, it arouses me, my freaking visual cortex light up, and then I must have. Women, little visual activity, little bit of, ooh, it's arousing, and then nothing.
Yeah, that's what zero. I get. I come in during the nothing part. What about, I call them flatliners. Let me ask something, Drew. Yeah. What if a guy, and I'm not talking about one of my gay buddies, but I'm talking about a good, straight American man, sees himself as he's like a Ferrari or a Lamborghini Murcielago. What will that do to his brain?
Well, interesting you would ask. That's the kind of stuff I want to do tomorrow. I want to see if we, I want, for instance, we're going to put a couple in the MRI machine. I want the husband to start telling the woman he loves her, he's going to buy her jewelry and see what her brain does. And then have her do that to him.
Yeah, but you get nothing there, but what, so are you going to show a guy a picture of a $200,000 sports car?
That's one of the things I wanted. I'm going to go in the scanner too. They're going to show my passion.
You'll see there's going to be a hamster on a wheel squeaking.
but running fast.
Running fast. And then you see the Lamborghini. It's just running faster. Then start slowing down as you see the Ford Taurus. And how do you physically do it? Do you just show them a picture?
I haven't seen the apparatus yet. I'm interested to see that. Yes, somehow they're shown a picture while they're in the scanner.
All right.
And then they report how arousing it was or not, you know. So they give their subjective experience too. It's interesting.
Yeah,
right?
but I mean, they can say what they want. The brain tell the truth.
The brain tells the story of really
and
what's
can,
going on.
Can your? Of course, you can lie, but can the centers light up for hunger and passion and whatever? And you say, "Nah, not my cup of tea." And can you mean it?
I suspect the answer is yes. I suspect that answer is yes. We're also
how does
gonna
that
go,
work? How does
I
that
don't
work,
know.
Though?
I've never seen any kind of research like that, so I don't know if that's possible. It makes sense to me that way, because people disconnect from their emotional centers all the time in various ways. They just don't, they're just not aware of their bodies. They're not aware of drives. They just sort of like, huh, what? You know, we talk about
this. Yeah. Like, OJ thinks he's innocent.
Right.
You just have a way of just sort of suppressing things and pushing things away, right?
Exactly.
But what about this, Drew? And would you talk to these Poindexters about my idea?
Which one?
I'll tell you.
Lots of good ones. I'm listening.
I know. And they all come to fruition. They absolutely do.
Okay.
And you know what I'm going to... I got a couple plans. One is, you know how we're like Leonardo da Vinci envisioned a helicopter 500 years before the first helicopter flew? You know, and he's a genius.
Yeah. I'm going to publish all your stuff posthumously.
Yeah. No. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a huge punch list of things. One day, man will travel, will have his own individual pods and travel through the solar system. And then if any of them come true, I get to be a genius.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, okay, Da Vinci. Here's the genius. Go make one, you wop. Go make one. You can't just say one day man will fly. Well, okay.
He drew pictures of stuff, and he made models of it.
Listen, man will be able to transport himself by breaking down his molecules and then reassembling them across the country or across the world. Okay, then if it happens in 300 years, I get to be the genius, not the guy who invents it?
Just if you draw the picture.
I'm going to draw a picture right now of a box and then a line going to another box and a guy disappearing and ending up in the other box.
Hey, speaking of saying, pictures and saying things.
I'm going to sign this. Hold on, Drew. I'm not done.
I heard Howard Stern went nuts this morning on us for some reason. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I think.
He went nuts on me.
I already went nuts on you.
For something I don't think I said. It doesn't even register true for me.
Whatever, buddy.
Whatever, dude.
I don't know what I don't know what you said. It doesn't take too much to get Howard to go nuts.
Yeah, I guess.
But I'm just glad he kept me out of it. Although, any press is good press, Drew.
Of course.
Probably the biggest audience you ever had.
That's probably true.
And then, and secondly, let me tell you how passionate a man I am. My buddy Daniel called me today about, 10 in the morning. He's like, did you hear Howard Stern? And I said, no. Oh, he went nuts on Drew. I mean, he did a solid 10 minutes just going ape-ass on Drew. He just dismantled him. I never heard anything like it. And I said, wow, that's something. And he said, could you think you could get the tape of that? And I was like, yeah, I probably could. And he said, are you going to get the tape? And I said, No.
I'm curious. Apparently, somebody emailed him something they alleged that I wrote or read or something, and it just doesn't ring true. I don't know what I would have said about him.
Because
I support his FCC stuff. You know what I mean?
Stop kissing ass.
No. Seriously, I think that there are issues with, you know, I worry about the kind of stuff that goes on.
Uh-oh.
Maybe what I said something.
You're getting in trouble again, buddy.
Really, by just saying. I worry about stuff that goes out in the air, but God bless Howard for standing up, you know.
Well, let me just say this. Howard, It's the Ace Man. Remember we had dinner in New York that time? It was awesome. I love you, buddy. And that guy, that's Drew. That's Drew talking. And I, you know, I can't control him. You know what I mean? I can no sooner control Drew than Siegfried could control Montecore. That's all I'm saying. So Howie, if you hear me, this is the Ace Man, and he loves you, and he'd love to come on the show next time he's in New York. All right, Drew, I don't know what went on.
I don't know either. It's bizarre.
A couple of people told me went nuts on you, and really, you should be flattered.
I appreciate it, especially if it's something I don't mean. You know what I mean?
Look, stop backpedaling.
Adam, if I had something, some issue, have I ever said I have an issue with him? Or
No. But anyway.
That's weird.
I don't want to get lumped in with you. That's all.
All right, that's fine. I'll stand
He's
by.
He's a powerful man. All right, here's what I want you to ask the eggheads over there at the university.
Yeah.
Who are doing the PET scans or the CAT scans or the functional MRIs. Yeah. What I would like is an answer, or I would like them to get going on my lie detector.
Okay. All right. That's a great idea.
Everybody could be better than my attack crows. Everyone listen up. Think about the court system. Think about the, you know, jurors. Think about bailiffs. Think about stenographers. And think about the court-appointed attorneys and the millions and millions of dollars. Just the facilities alone. Every city in the country needing, you know, a handful of these large, noble, regal buildings and all that. Then think about the batting average of the court system, really. I mean, it's like we've decided it's the best system there is. It's like it's the best system, but amongst other systems where they kill you with a rock.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's the best system except for all the other ones.
It's the best system in the world, but that's not saying that much.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. We need to let technology bring it along.
Well, I'm just saying they had referees in the NFL, and they still do have referees, but now they use instant replay, and we can tell beyond a shadow of a doubt whether somebody's foot was in bounds or out of bounds.
Right.
There's no more human error. Right. And basically the court system as it exists now, which is, look, if you can afford the dream team, you're probably going to get out of there. Let's face it. If you got a ton of money, you're out of there. If you're some black dude from Mississippi that gets courted some racist court-appointed attorney, you may be going in the joint for something you didn't do. So first off, let's not say the system we have now is not flawed. You probably got about a 65% chance of it coming out all right, but that's translates into quite a few people going into the joint for without being represented correctly. I want to say that we need a lie detector and a lie detector
that works.
And you know what? It doesn't have to work 100% of the time. It worked 96% of the time, and that's still 30% better than it's working now. If you think about it.
Yes.
And you know, and we get into this thing as Americans, we're like, yes, but if only one man goes to prison, if one innocent man goes to prison, then none of it is worth it. Really? One innocent guy out of the millions that go through the system efficiently? That's a decent batting average.
And by the way, I think the way things are now, people are probably more likely to go through innocent than guilty. You know what I mean?
Oh, look.
This could protect the innocent.
A few years ago, the mayor of Illinois or something, or the governor of Illinois, like, had to pardon everyone on death row because it turned out that three-quarters of them were innocent.
Right.
I mean, and the ACLU pussies, who would be the first ones who would be against this, should love it. It's all your buddies that are going in the joint.
Right.
All the poor, all the ethnicities, all the underrepresented, those are the people that are suffering. This evens the playing field out for the rich doctor and the inner city guy who has no money.
Yep.
I just say we have the PET scans, we have the functional MRIs, we have the CAT scans, we have crazy computer-driven technology. This is an area that is that has exploded over the last few years.
I have a great idea. Why don't you draw a picture of a guy with like a Gilligan's Island type, electronic hat on with wires coming off it?
I'm doing it. Here's what it's going to look like: a spaghetti colander with spark plugs sticking out of it and wires connecting it.
Perfect. Okay. And you'll be declared a genius in 100 years when that's the method.
Chris, do you see what I drew there? judicial review helmet.
All right.
Yeah, you see that?
Yep.
Yeah. One size fits all because the band is adjustable on the inside.
Oh, cool.
Okay. We make one for huge afros, too. It's going to be a little bit larger. All right. That's my point. Seriously, Drew, ask them about this.
I will.
And if they'll probably, and you'll probably get angry when they give you the answer, which is, we put it this way, out of 1,000 people, two of them, it'll misfire on. And even those two people, it's not necessarily going to be wrong with.
Yep.
All right. And then just think about the system. Oh, hey, Mr. Simpson, we got cause to believe. Hey, hook yourself right on up. Oh, turns out, okay, see ya. Bye-bye. Blake, whoever. Whoever did something, pow, just get on, hop out. And
by the way, whoever didn't do something, hop in.
Hop in. I mean, you who were, you know, drunk and passed out alone in your apartment and you have no alibi and some white old lady said placed you at the scene of the crime, you should be diving on top of this device, right?
Yes, yes.
I mean, absolutely. You should be like, hurry, strap me into this thing before they strap me into the chair.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
All right. And then it's all gone. All the circus is all gone. The media, the millions and billions of dollars spent, all that, it's all gone. It's all gone. Just every town has one. That's it. We do some protocol where if you're guilty and it's a capital offense, you got to go through three times and whatever. Boom. Done. Yes?
Yes.
All right. Talk to them about it, Drew. Please.
I will.
All right. I'm going to speak to Alexis, 27. Alexis?
Yes.
What's up?
I've just got a question. I've been with my boyfriend for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got two kids together, but when I go to give him head, once he gets to that pre-ejaculation stage, it makes me gag and I have to stop.
What is the pre-ejaculation? Because I think I'm always in the pre-ejaculation stage. Or I'm ejaculating. Aren't we all, Drew? Where are you
one
right now?
Other.
Pre,
pre,
oh, pre, Chris.
No. I'm in pre right now.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, now post. Wow, that was quick.
Oh.
What is the pre-ejaculation stage, and how do we get there?
What does that mean? Is there like is there something coming out? You mean?
Yeah.
So a little bit of stuff comes out, and you vomit.
Yeah. Well, I don't vomit. I just gag.
What if a lot of stuff comes out?
Oh, I would still gag or I'd probably throw up. It just depends.
Then you'd vomit.
All right.
And so what is your question for us?
Well, I just want to know what I can do to help me try to go a lot longer without gagging.
You put a condom on. I know that's something that no one likes that one, but that's what you can do. Otherwise, because that's going to come out every time.
Yeah.
How long does it take before he starts frothing?
It depends on how much of a mood he's in. On an average, it's about 20 to 30 minutes.
30 minutes? Well, that's, yeah. She's putting in a little bit of a yeoman's effort there.
You're giving him oral sex for 30 minutes before anything starts dripping out of him?
Yeah.
You need to find some way to shorten that period.
He needs to find some way to shorten that period.
Yeah.
He's got to start focusing. And I don't understand, though. Is this not satisfying for him, or how's it work? I mean, does he want to reach orgasm this way, or do you guys want to have sex?
Well, I want to have sex, but he won't because he's afraid he'll get me pregnant again, even though I'm on birth control.
Oh, I'd like to hook this guy up to my lie detector. What an a-hole. That's awesome. Like, yeah, we got two kids. I'm on the pill, but sorry, baby. Start sucking.
I'm afraid to have sex.
I would love to rock your world all night long, but we can't chance it. Not on my salary. Start sucking. Watch out. I can't see the TV. There we go.
Could wear a condom. He could wear a condom, right?
With the intercourse?
Yes.
Yeah. This is not a man of passion like you, Drew.
No. This guy, I don't know if we could hang.
He would have nothing to talk about.
I know.
Yeah.
Disconnect.
Yeah. Alexis?
Yes.
What does he do for you to give you pleasure?
He goes down orally.
Does that do the trick for you? Oh, interesting. Does that do the trick for you? No?
Sometimes. Uh-oh. Not all the time.
Do you want sex?
Yeah.
And he won't give it to you?
No.
Well,
and you're on the pill.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually on the patch.
Okay.
This is a bigger issue than the oral sex thing. He needs to do what's right. Come on.
You need to have a talk with him.
And by the way, if you have sex for a while, then you can finish him off with the oral sex, and he'll be a shorter period of time.
Uh-huh.
It won't be 20, 30 minutes. I mean, you're going to hurt your jaw with that.
Yeah. Is something else going on with him?
Nope. He just says he just doesn't want me to get pregnant again because we've got one boy, one girl, and they're close in age, and he's been having kids.
Yeah, you've told us this already. It's a non-excuse.
It's not an answer. Yeah. You're on the patch. You're on birth control, so you're not going to get pregnant. So
he can throw a condom on and put that risk down to zero at that point.
Yeah, and I've told him that, and he still says no.
Well, then no oral sex. Very simple.
Yeah,
if you don't. He doesn't want to go. You know what you need. You're not willing to help him. It's very simple.
Okay.
He's got to go both ways.
All right.
Where are we going here?
What?
I know.
I don't know.
Handball against the curtains.
I know, but it's like chimps got married or something. Are they adults? You know what I mean? Don't they talk?
Right.
Where do everyone's... You know, it's weird. I know people's verbal skills have seemed to deteriorated over the years.
Yeah.
But it's now the point where people can't make an argument anymore. Our logic has somehow been sucked out of every conversation.
Right. Well, there's no listening. They don't understand what you're asking.
I know. And I mean, we sit here every night, and it's like, what does he do for a living? Works. Okay.
No, you missed a step. What does he do for a living?
Huh?
What does he do for a living?
Huh?
What does he do for a living? Yes,
huh?
What does he do for a living?
Works.
He works.
Huh?
Yeah.
I don't even, It's really, it's what kids do. It's how kids argue. You know, it's like, now, why did you steal that from Timmy? Because, really? Isn't it sort of the adult version of because?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
Adriana?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. I was, like, I'm seriously, like, in love with my gay friend, Carlos.
Gay friend?
Yeah.
That's a damn lie, and you know it! Mm-hmm. Did he have to use his name?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
He's probably getting his ass kicked right now. A bunch of jocks from the football team are beating on him. All right, you're in love with your gay friend.
That happens. That's, again, that need to be in love with the unattainable and to try to change somebody that can't be changed. You better hope you don't. He doesn't sort of go down a romantic path with you because that's not going to be real. He's gay.
How old is he?
He's 16.
And you're how old?
17.
All right, you need to start dating. You really need to distract yourself.
You got to get out there.
This is not right.
I've, like, tried dating, like, normal straight guys, and they've all been, like, I don't know, they're all, like, jerks, and they're like, oh, I love you, baby, and blah, 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 but I don't know, they're just stupid.
We agree.
Hold on, I take back everything I said about the verbal skills breaking down.
Blah, blah, blah.
And it's stupid. I love you, baby. Blah, blah, blah. It's stupid. All right. Well, listen, Adriana, what's up with you? Where's your dad? What's going on?
My dad lives in Mexico. I've never seen him.
There you
Ooh.
Go.
Yeah. That's bad. At least he's being punished.
Yeah. And so,
I live in a group home.
You live in a group home? Yeah. Oh, by the way, just hearing Adriana's voice, I pictured a lot of black fingernail polish.
Yeah.
I don't wear black fingernail polish at all. I don't wear fingernail polish at all.
But you did wear it at one time.
Actually, I never did.
Mm-hmm. How about black in general?
No, never did.
Not gothy at all?
No, never did.
All right.
What do you dress like, by the way?
Normal.
Okay.
So you're in a group home. Yeah, normal.
Okay, got it.
What do you dress like? Normal. Oh, man, what a vivid picture.
What a picture.
Just close your eyes. Can't you see her now in that
normal
dress?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, or pants, or blouse, or jacket.
T-shirt, whatever.
Or T-shirt, or shorts. Whatever
dress.
Normal is, yeah. Oh, man. Vivid, Adriana.
I wear a lot of pink.
A lot That's of pink.
Nice. There you okay. go. We wouldn't have predicted that. Where's
more detail for you? I wear a lot of pink and.
Why did you end up in a group home? Where's your mom?
My mom, she used to beat me a lot. And
all right. So for all you, right. relationships are going to be scary. You're going to find you're going to be attracted to abusive people, or you're going to be attracted to unavailable people. And you found yourself an unavailable one in a way that's safer than probably the
other
instinct
you have. Yeah, we're glad you're not being passed around by some bikers. Hey, Adriana.
Just be realistic about this. Fine, hang out with the guy. He's a better version of the male. Fine. We agree with you, yes.
Just take care of yourself. Figure out what you want to do and do it, and don't get pregnant.
Oh, I've already been down that path, and it's not good.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah. I didn't know the pregnancy path was when you could. Well, I guess you could abort it.
Well, I had a miscarriage.
Okay,
shocking. Yeah. But okay, do not do it again, please, sweetie. You'll be all right. You just find yourself a job and fight to keep it.
There you go. I have a job. I work at Roundtable.
Oh, you work at Roundtable. All right.
Good times.
I could make it. I don't know if I've ever had one of their pizza pies. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Drew's in Atlanta, and we'll be right back after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Thursday night, Unwritten Law in the studio. You know what I was thinking about today, Drew?
What's that?
Talked about it before, but it's been a number of years. My nephew, not my sister's kid, but my wife's sister's kid, got a fractured hip.
Oh, my God.
Hit with a hockey puck.
Oh.
Kid's like 16 years old. Anyway, I think he's going to be okay. But he can't sleep because he's in pain, and he sleeps on his side or on his stomach, and of course the hips effed up, and he's got to be on his back.
Yeah.
And you know, you're on your back a lot in this society. The world is built for people who sleep on their back. Whether it's
you
take a plane, the seat reclines. You sleep on your back, you're in great shape. You sleep on your front, you're effed, like I am.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if you sleep on your back, it's good for, if you essentially can doze off in the upright or sitting position. A long bus ride, a plane ride, a boring board meeting, a long movie whatever it is, doze right on. Now, if you sleep on your front, and then especially if you sleep on your face in this sort of cockeyed position I do, where my hands are actually underneath my head, being used as sort of a pillow.
Yep.
And if you do that, then you get in the plane seat, you recline the plane seat, and then you proceed to try to twist over, but of course, you're being bent backwards. Like, if you want to sleep, you can do it, but from L.A. to New York, you're going to be in the down dog position. It's like some sort of a retarded yoga lotus position, and you're
going to
wake up in worse shape than you were. It's actually worse, because the only thing worse than actually not sleeping is trying to sleep and tossing and turning all over the place, and you got your face mashed up against the window and stuff.
Yes.
You're trying to tuck your hand and using your jacket as a pillow under your head. Meanwhile, the guys who sleep on their backs are sawing logs all the way across the ocean.
And
I just look at them and I think, you're going, 600 miles an hour. You're 30,000 feet in the air, but you might as well just be home in your bed. Because that's where you are right now. You're just leaning back. You're going to bed. And I thought, and it's better for your back. It's better for everything. It's better for your skin. Like, I'll get a zit or something, or an ingrown hair or something on my face or my cheek because I sleep with my face mashed up against. And then, of course,
it's because of your hands are mashed up against your face. All the stuff on your hands gets on your face.
God knows. The oral fecal route has never been wider open.
Yes.
And then secondly, then there's the drool factor. I will slobber on my pillow face, and now if anything happens, like, I threw my back out or I hurt my neck or something, now you're in for the worst night of your life.
You're just not sleeping.
Yeah. You're just not sleeping. Okay. And then, God forbid, something happens where you have to go into the hospital for a few days. You're just screwed. It's like, you might just dart me like a rhino. Otherwise, I'm going to be lying here staring at the ceiling all night.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, what an advantage sleeping on your back is.
Yep,
what a huge thing. And I thought, Two things. One is, I swear to Christ, you get hold of your kids, flip them over, Drew.
Yeah,
go into the room
yeah.
every night and just flip them over. You could turn them over. You could turn them over and flip them over and work them. And my buddy Chris, he was a belly sleeper until he beat up somebody on Pacific Coast Highway, and the guy ran him over in his Volkswagen.
As I recall, he ran him over three times, right?
Well, he ran him over enough to have some internal bleeding and stuff fractured arm and stuff. And he had to go to the hospital, and he had to stay in the hospital for like 2 weeks, and it converted him over to his back.
Wow.
Well, because if you think about it, you take a 19-year-old guy and you put him on his back for 2 weeks, he's converted. Why should it be any different than, you know, quitting smoking?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like the first couple of days are the hardest, right?
Yep.
Well, you're converted. The younger, the better.
Yep, you're right.
I would like to start a sleep center where I flip people over.
Yeah, learn to sleep in the position that you will need your whole life. You know what I mean?
Yes. Learn to sleep in the position that the man has forced you to get in almost every situation. I don't care if you're on a subway, a bus, or an airplane.
Yep.
You be on your back. And folks, if you sleep on your back and you're flying to Singapore, pop a Xanax and let the good times roll. Now, I start a facility where I'll flip you. I'll flip you. And the first thing we got to do is and this is why I'm talking to you, Drew, because I need a physician. People aren't going to do it. I'm going to have to drug them up pretty good.
I see.
A lot of muscle relaxing. They're going to be like rag dolls. Then I'm just going
to
start flipping them. And I'm going to get a bed that actually starts to pivot and turn over. Big spatula flips them over. But after, 10 days, they're on their back, and that's it for the rest of their life. No back problems, perfect. No slobber on the pillow, sleeping. I predict you will take flights just to sleep.
Adam,
you may not even have to travel. You'll just go get on a plane.
Draw it. You'll be declared a genius. You'll be a genius. 100 years, you'll be a genius.
Chris, you see this? I'm drawing a stick figure on his stomach, and I'm drawing the same guy now on his back with an arrow.
All right.
Okay? All right?
Yeah.
All right. You're
good
witness,
time.
Right?
Yes.
You know what I'm going to do?
I'm going to
send this to myself.
Yeah,
so
perfect.
It's dated. It's got a postmark on it.
Perfect.
All right. Let's talk to...
Hey, I have a quick thing first. Yeah. My television program, I'm looking to talk to couples who have a fear of having pregnancy while... a fear of having sex while pregnant. We talk to those people on Love Line all the time where the guys are fearful of screwing the kid up or the women feel ugly. We want to talk to that couple on television. So
we talked to him. We talked to that guy last night. Didn't we?
I know. It's interesting. Yeah, we talk to them all the time. Now, of course, Noah will call.
No way. Yeah. Lacey?
Yeah?
You're 12?
Yep.
Do you sleep on your back, kitten?
Maybe. Yeah.
Talk about not getting answers on this show.
I can actually do both. I can actually sleep on my belly or on my back. Actually fallen asleep once where I had my elbows on the ground. I had my face propped up.
Well, really?
You
under
know
your
what?
Hands.
I think I could hear her talk about anything.
Yeah.
It's just
the
light in her voice. Yes. Just read the dictionary to us.
All
Go ahead. What's
I'm a redhead.
Up?
I'm very sociable.
Yeah. All right. What's
back
up,
to that,
Lacey?
Verbal expression issue you're bringing.
Well,
up
she's 12. Give
okay,
her a break.
12.
Yay.
Okay. Jeez, my daughter's 12. Oh my God.
What's the problem?
Oh my God, this is gonna freak me out. Whatever it is.
Yeah, because your daughter could be calling the show,
or one of her friends, or something. Oh my God,
Lacey,
the humanity.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you how you know it's not one of your daughter, or one of her friends, because ice skating's not come up yet. And we're a whole minute and 11 seconds into the call. Go ahead, Lacey. What's your question?
There's a guy in my class, and I like him and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want him to actually like me. And mm-hmm. so I don't
yes.
have a way to get him to, like, notice that I'm there and, like...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, it says here you
I'm just drifting off.
It says here you had brain cancer.
Brain tumor on my optic nerve, 5.5 years.
Did you have a craniopharyngioma or something?
No.
What was it?
A benign brain tumor.
What kind?
I have no clue.
Was it like a pituitary tumor?
I have no clue.
Okay.
Well,
what
did they do?
Pituitary.
Did they get it with the gamma knife?
I actually went down to Cedars-Sinai.
And what did they do? Did they operate or did they just put you on medication? Hello?
I had I had brain surgery. My brother's making me laugh really hard.
Did they go through your sort of your lip to get up to it?
No, they actually cut a scar from the bottom of my ear up to the my
forehead.
Head up to the top of my head and pulled my whole face forward.
Yep.
I have a picture of my 3-day black and blue eye.
Wow. Okay, and you want to get the attention of a guy that is he a friend of yours?
Did they get it?
Yeah, he knows that I like him. I mean,
they should sweat the small stuff.
They get the tumor. Everything's okay.
Yeah, 6 years out, no sign of returning.
Was it arachnoid cyst? Does that sound familiar? It's kind of a weird location for an arachnoid cyst, but
no clue. It was on the optic nerve.
All right.
Anyway. So and they check you every once in a while, see if it's coming back. MRI. BFD.
Yeah.
All right, so what's
They're
up?
So fun. You'll have fun tomorrow. Don't worry.
Can't wait.
Yeah, listen, I had one of those MRIs. Like, you put your head in a trash can and some guy beats it with a wooden spoon for 40 minutes. It's horrible.
Not too bad.
No,
all right, so
listen,
do you think this guy likes you or is he a friend of yours?
He's actually the guy that sits next to me is his best friend.
Can you talk to him or send a message through the guy that sits next to you?
I'm actually comfortable talking to him and his friend, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Here's what I understand, Lacey. You're very outgoing, and you're not scared to present yourself to people and have a conversation with people.
Yeah.
Maybe you should talk to him about, you know, how you feel about him.
Yeah, because he's into, like, other girls in class, because I've called him, and I've had, like, my cousin three-way and, like, ask him.
Mm. Later, a couple more years, that three-way will mean something else.
Trust me, I know what you mean.
No,
easy. Easy, baby. Easy now.
No, come on.
Easy.
I'm losing it.
All right.
Okay.
Here's
the deal.
12-year-old is freaking.
Here's the deal. It's okay to talk. What does it mean when you have a boyfriend 12 years old anyway? It just sort of means you kind of hang out
now?
A bit. Relax. Easy.
All right.
Oh,
actually,
my God.
My ex that just dumped me because he has to go down to Hollywood for like 5 months for acting, we like would go to the movies. I went to his house.
Right. So maybe you should ask him out to hang out
finish.
Like that. I think that's enough for me.
I know. He went to Hollywood to act, huh?
I know.
My ex, yeah.
Your ex. It's nice. I don't know. I can't even imagine calling it an ex at age 12.
I know.
What are you in? Are you in the sixth grade?
Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing, Lacey. Let's be realistic about this whole thing. The guy knows you. He's seen you. He's spoken.
He always looks at me because his friend sits right next to me.
Right.
Always looking at me.
Right, but that's like saying he's always looking at me because there's a seagull on my head.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's like that doesn't help you any. He's always looking at you, because his buddy's right next to you.
And you're always staring at him.
But he's well aware of you and is not and doesn't seem to be interested. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
But at 12, you never know. I mean, a lot of 12-year-olds just are not into girls. They just aren't.
Well, but he seems to be chasing some of the other girls that are in the class.
Yeah, but maybe they're chasing him.
I've actually talked to him about it.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would either let it go.
Wait a minute. What did he say when you talked to him about it?
Because my cousin called, and he's all like, she's weird. She wears glasses, and she has red hair. Ew.
Okay. Well, listen, Lacey, one day you're going to find a lovable nerd who will give you the kind of love that you deserve.
Yeah, this
and,
guy has given
this guy
you a,
ain't it.
Yeah, he's given you sort
it.
Of a no, don't push it. Do not push it. It's okay to have a crush at a distance. Don't get obsessed about it. Just move on.
And Lacey, here's the thing. This may be the first time this has happened to you. It happens to everybody multiple times.
It'll happen.
It really
again,
does.
Yeah. And Adam, think of what you wish somebody had told you when you were 12 about these kinds of things. That's what we got to tell her, which is what you're telling her.
Here's the deal, everybody. You will find people that are uninterested in you, and everyone will have the people that you are the most attracted to who you see on TV could tell you, could sit you down for 5 hours and tell you all the people who weren't interested in them.
Right.
Or
right.
who were temporarily and then screwed them over or what have you. It happens to everybody.
Everybody.
And you know what? It's actually a good thing because yes. it's one of these things, and there's not too many of these things, but it's one of these things where as a human being, you it's almost necessary.
Yeah, you're right.
It's almost important that there's some failure at this part, at this level in these interactions.
Yes,
it makes
you're right.
you a better, more well-rounded, more complete human being. Show me a person that's never stumbled and falled in this arena. I'll show you someone I don't want to hang out with.
That's absolutely right. I'm with you.
And someone who makes me sick. Son of a bitch.
You hang out with your friend Chris, though.
Yeah, my buddy Chris, yeah. But at least he lets me, you know, smell him down there.
Oh, my
well,
God.
Well, I'm being honest.
All right,
I'll
take a
I'm
break.
Being honest. That's all I can be.
Yeah.
All right, Lacey, it's as I suspected. This guy's not interested. Do not, don't watch all those Disney movies that makes you think you can flip this guy over by putting on new perfume or somehow he's going to look at you. And all these movies, it's somehow, oh, he's ignoring you. He's going after the head cheerleader. And by the end of the 90 minutes, he's realized he's in love with you all the entire
happen.
Time.
Doesn't
Never.
Happen. The only flipping over that occurs at the Corolla Sleep Centers. Otherwise, that's it.
That's right. Now, it does happen in 33 years when his, you know, when his waistline gets like 8 inches bigger than, you know, when he starts wearing the 44-33 Levi's.
And his testosterone and level drops by 80%. Yeah.
He starts getting mammaries and high circulating estrogen and his hair falls out. Then he's into you.
Good times.
All right. Unless he makes some money and then he's not again. All right. We'll take a quick break. Sorry, it's true. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew coughing in Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's all right. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew, I just learned that I didn't know this. We talked to that gentleman who generously pledged $15,000 toward the tsunami relief fund. In exchange, he was going to come in and hang out, be a guest here on Loveline. Somebody else matched his bid.
That's what I heard. There's going to be a second $15,000 visitor.
So that is...
Are we going to talk to that person?
His name is Dave, and he's from Seattle, and that's about as much as I know. And I don't know where I was when the second guy was announced, but I didn't
hear
anything.
Is he an astrophysicist, too?
I don't know. He's got to have something going. And now what about you, Drew? Have you made a contribution yet?
Not made a contribution yet.
Not. All right, Drew. Remember, think about what a nice guy everyone thinks you are.
Yeah. If you want to get into it, I've thought it all through. And A, here's my problem with it. You don't know where the money's going. B, I give a ton to organizations that I support every day, like, you know, Hillside Home for Children, things like that. I'd rather take that money and give it to them. Just whatever I pledge to somebody. And I don't want it going away from the people I do support every year. You know what I mean? I have real misgivings about it. And I'm hearing that this money's being sort of funneled all over the place and they don't want it. And it's like, you know, it becomes just a PR ploy for people. I'd rather take the money, give it to the people that I support all year long.
Right.
Which is what I plan to do. So.
Okay, Drew.
So.
But let me tell you the fundamental problem with that logic.
What?
One is... You are studio the night you would have had to give. You see, you were out of the night Huba Stank was in here and Simple Plan or whoever was in Lincoln Park was in here twisting the arm. So you ironically were getting paid somewhere the night you would have been in here parting with dollars.
Right,
number
right.
one. Number two, the whole idea with these kinds of things like these, you know, once every 500-year type disasters that pop up, you're supposed to give to your normal charities and then give a little extra to these folks because it's happens every 500 years.
I agree. And I'm actually was talking to a guy tonight about trying to figure out a way to go over there and sort of give services and that kind of thing. I got something like that I want to do. I don't know if that would work or how you do it, but something like that.
Interesting. Time for break. Interesting. Let's see. Jeremy over here. No. MJ, upset about her dad's 22-year-old girlfriend. Don't approach him. She's offended. Let's see. MJ?
Yeah.
23?
Yes.
Your dad has a 22-year-old girlfriend?
Yeah, he's 55.
Is she hot?
You know, she's not bad. I mean, I'll admit to that. She's she's not a bad-looking gal.
Is she nutty?
Well, she's kind of, I don't know, she reminds me of kind of trailer trash.
My consistent feeling is if somebody in their 20s were wanting to have a relationship with somebody my age or older, there's something wrong with them.
I don't talk to her very much, so I don't know.
Liar, whore, and you know it.
Wait, hold on a second, MJ, because we got to take a break. But people have relationships for different reasons, and there's attraction and there's security. And, yeah, I don't trust that person either. On the other hand, I do look at a lot of relationships as, well, we know what's in it for him, and we sort of know what's in it for her. And it is, as long as they both sort of understand what's in it for both of them,
It becomes
like a business relationship in a sense, more than a intimate relationship. But let's take a break. We'll explore that after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
And I'm still looking for people to put on television who are fearful of having sex while pregnant and what that all means to them. Interesting. You know, listen, Adam, listening to all those public service announcements during the break.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how people are, for a long time now, people have been sort of making a big issue about a Smokey the Bear being Smokey Bear.
Mm-hmm.
You heard this?
Smokey the Bear, shouldn't it be Smokey Bear?
Or is it Santa the Claus? And is it the Easter the Bunny? I have one response. Felix the Cat.
That's
you know what I mean? Certain things just go together. It's Smokey the Bear. Felix the Cat.
It's
the name.
You're very passionate about Felix
the
Cat.
God, it makes me crazy that people want to undo things just because.
Engineer Chris, you know Felix the Cat is?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Can you sing the song?
No, I don't know the song, but I know the cartoon.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Should we sing it?
That was an outrageous request. You ready, Drew?
Felix the Cat.
The wonderful cat.
Whenever he gets in a fix, he reaches into his bag of tricks.
Felix the Cat. The wonderful cat. You'll laugh so hard.
Your heart will go pit-a-pat.
What the hell is that? Felix the wonderful cat. I always wonder, you're looking at the lyric sheet. It's like, yeah, I like it, except for the part where your heart will go pitter-pat. No, I realize we need something to rhyme with cat, but your heart will go pitter-pat. You'll laugh like you're fat, you know, something. He doesn't like a rat. It's really AT is one of the easier. You'll laugh at this and that watching Felix.
Let's sleep on it. You'll think of something.
Yeah, I'd be like, Russ, I give this a 6. I think you could make it a 9 if you put about 15 minutes more into it. Why don't you go knock that off?
Let's work on the character names for the cartoon.
Yeah.
We got
the Master Cylinder.
We got a guy that's a smart guy. Let's call him the
Poindexter.
Professor. The professor.
Poindexter.
That's right. Both.
We'll have Rock Bottom. We'll have the Master Cylinder. It's named after a brake car part. Yeah. All right, everybody. Let me just say this. The chap's name who matched the $15,000 from our MIT professor over there in Boston, David Russ, or I should say Roos, David Roos from Seattle. So he'll be coming in here as well.
How does he spell his last name?
Well, he spells it R-U-S-S, but it's pronounced Roos.
Huh.
So he'll be in here. He's from Seattle. So they'll both be in here, and I'll be anxious to meet these two fine humanitarians. And, Drew, I know you're worried about where your money is going, and that's very caring of you. You can give it to the Red Cross, though. I think that's where I gave my money. And, of course, they'll ship it to somewhere out of the country, but at least it's going to the Red Cross. You know, if you don't feel comfortable making a donation to the Tsunami Relief Fund or whatever it is, you give it to the Red Cross.
All right.
And so what? It goes to, you know, they buy retarded kids in Russia some crayons or something with it. Who cares?
All right.
Heard about experimental. Oh, yeah. Where were we? Okay. We're talking to MJ, who's 23. MJ?
Yeah.
What's up? Oh, yeah. You got the father's got the 22-year-old girlfriend. And Yeah. And here's what it is. You're disappointed in it.
Well, I'm not so much disappointed in him. I mean, you know, I talk about this with my friends, and they're like, man, you should be happy for him. But, you know, I don't know. It's just weird. I think he could do a lot better. I don't know.
Well, hold on. You're not disappointed in him? You mean your problem is she's 22, but she could be hotter? Or what are you saying?
Well, you know, what I'm saying is, I guess if I was his age, it'd be a good thing. But in my shoes, I'm thinking, you know what, he could do a lot better than that.
But more importantly, he says something about him.
What do you mean he could?
I mean, more his age.
What do you mean he could do better?
I'm not saying about the quality of girl, and I'm not talking about looks. I'm not talking about that. I'm just
more substantial person.
Just a person in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, but. Okay, but are we rejecting my point where he disappointed you?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It was kind of unexpected. It's just something I never thought he would do.
All right, so, but you're not disappointed.
You get what I'm saying about not being disappointed. I mean,
No, I don't.
You sound disappointed. When people do things like not give money to the Red Cross, you're supposed to be disappointed in them. And it's okay to admit that. I mean, this guy, he's your father. He's 50-something years old. He's dating a 22-year-old trailer trash. It's sort of disappointing.
Yeah, it says something about him that you didn't really want to
deal with.
It
says something about him that you don't like to think that your dad is the kind of guy who would do this. You keep saying, I think he could do better, which is just confusing. What do you mean you think he could do better? You mean you're not saying older, you're just saying better. Better, better looking, smarter.
Older,
but what I mean is MJ, because he's one of our Loveline callers, won't let us put any words in his mouth.
Right.
Instead, he'd rather just sort of spit it back at you and end up at the same place, but not use your words.
Right.
MJ, really, your choices when a dad does this is being disappointed and being angry or both.
Okay.
Or we're just being weirded out. I mean, if this is somebody closer to your age, it's sort of like, ugh. It's just a little bit creepy.
Yeah, it's definitely creepy. And I'm not trying to spit words back at you guys.
Listen, you sounded depressed and sort of disappointed. And you have a sort of probably an idealized notion of your dad, and he sort of ruptured, you know, that bubble.
Yeah, your dad is sort of being immature and doing one of those things that you would be laughing at if one of your friend's dads did it.
What happened to your mom? Where's your mom?
My mom and dad got divorced just as I was getting out of high school.
Is something up with your dad? Is he anything else going on?
You know, not really. I mean, we have a good relationship, and you know.
What was your mom like?
She was a great mom, you know.
How old were they when they got married, do you think, approximately?
My mom was 23 and my dad was 29.
You know what it seems like? It just seems like a guy who didn't sow his oats.
Yeah, he was 29.
He might have been a 29-year-old nerd.
I know, but you know? I'm sure of it. But you were looking for, you know, there were high school sweethearts.
20, yeah.
And him being all but 30 when he got married is. MJ, he's doing it for whatever reasons he has. You can be disappointed in him, and you can tell him that, and maybe you can let him explain himself.
Okay.
You know, maybe, you know, you can say everything doesn't have to turn into a battle. You can tell him you're disappointed, and he can tell you, well, here's why I'm doing this, and maybe you won't be so disappointed when you're done.
And by the way, it's healthier to have a realistic vision of, or a sort of understanding of who your dad actually is. And this is an opportunity to kind of, you know, scrap away that unrealistic, idealized version of him and see who he really is.
Cassandra? You're, be prepared for it to be disappointed. Cassandra, you're 19.
Hello.
What's up?
Okay. Drew.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I just got back to my apartment. I'm living in Hollywood. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it like the Japanese do it.
Hey, please.
Hey.
I'm there.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Hey.
Hi. Drew.
Yeah. Hey.
Okay. Adam.
Hey.
Okay, I know this is probably a call that you guys have gotten multiple times, but okay. Hi. I fell in love with somebody when I was about 16, 17.
Hi.
Okay. And then the whole thing happened, you know what I mean? I cheated on him a couple of times, and then, you know what I mean? He did the same thing. He reciprocated, blah, 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 blah. And then basically it's like the whole time it's like both of us have been not able to get, like, you know what I mean? It's like we haven't been able to really get over the whole entire relationship, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
All right. Are you drunk?
I know that's what Brian told you. So
you're not tracking all that well, but go ahead. What's the question in a sentence?
Basically, it's like, if you are my age, I just moved into my first apartment, you're trying to get over your first boyfriend, whatever, you know what I mean?
You're 19, so, yes.
Yeah. I'm 19, I have a good job, but for some reason, we're in the same group of friends, and what are you supposed to do if, you know what I mean, you're around the same person all the time?
All right. How old is he? Same age?
Same age.
Okay.
You need to start dating and yeah. stay away from him. Very simple.
So
that's it.
Not very simple, though, because if they're around you all the time, I have imagine yourself, I live in L.A., very close. I know I said that I moved into an apartment that's very close, but imagine if live in the same city, basically. All your friends are the same. Everything is the same. And then
you need to develop a new group of friends. You need to expand your horizons. You need to get away from this guy. And what you're saying is you're not going to. You're not willing to.
Wow. She lives in
a little town. Small town.
Yeah, L.A. Yeah, there's one trading post. There's one sock hop where all the kids meet every Friday night.
Wrong. Completely wrong.
And then
there's only one Starbucks. You know.
There's only one. I think they're thinking about opening another one in Long Beach, but I'm not sure. As of now, there's one Starbucks, one McDonald's, and the biggest event is the Friday night football. High school, football. The entire town shuts down and goes and supports the Fighting Gamecocks. So I understand that. I know what it's like. I grew up in the same. You know, one paved road, one stop sign, one parking meter.
Yeah.
Listen, L.A. probably has more traffic cops, more parking enforcement personnel, or as I like to call them, meter pussies, than most towns' population in this country.
Right.
That whole, I understand, you have some of the same friends.
And it's hard. And even in a big town, it's harder because you get lost in the big town.
You can, when you don't want to see people,
you won't.
Oh boy, can you not see them?
That's right.
People, many person has done that to me. Cassandra?
You got to make that your job.
You were begging to differ with us right when I cut you off.
I'm not begging to differ because I love you guys to death. I listen to it every night. But honestly, I know that all you do is you get on the phone, you try and beg for answers. But literally, imagine if you live in a city like Santa Monica. You know what I mean? I think
Adam, literally imagine that. Literally.
Man, it's going to be tough because I used to live in Santa Monica. So it's going to be a real stretch.
I had a few drinks, so bear with me, but no.
No.
Shocking. But go ahead.
No, but if you have any compassion, I know you've heard it every day, and I listen to that. And I understand exactly what you're saying. But
Cassandra, thank you for being a fan. So what? You're in Santa Monica. I know you're drunk, but let me cut through that wine cooler curtain you got put up. I have done this. Everyone has done this. And I have friends that especially have done this. They have that same thing. It's on again. It's off again. It's chaotic. It's passionate. It's crazy. Yep. And the next thing you know, 4.5 years goes by. And then they finally realize they've wasted 4.5 years of each other's life with the arguments and the blowouts and the restraining orders and the makeups and the breakups. One big stupid dance. Look,
but imagine if you've had an abortion with the same guy.
I had three. Anal abortions, of course. Yeah, okay.
It doesn't matter then.
No, it doesn't matter.
Why
are you calling us then?
Yeah, leave us alone then.
You decided you're going to
your retarded universe.
No, impossible.
Yeah. First off, I was thinking about Santa Monica. I have a friend who's stupid enough to live in Santa Monica, and you know, you think Burbank's bad. Santa Monica, they just kick the crap out of you. Like, if you don't have a front, you know, my buddy got a ticket for, going through an intersection. Yeah. They took a picture of his car and sent it to him.
Yeah.
And I said, look, you got to take your front license plate off. Take the plate off. That's what I do. If you take your front license plate off, you can blow through them, and they don't have anything to go by. And he said, I did that, but I kept getting tickets
for having the front
license plate off. And I said, not pulled over and tickets, just tickets when you're parked, you know. I said, that's in Santa Monica, right? And he said, yeah. And I realized I used to live in Santa Monica. They bust your ass over there for everything. Yeah. And I just, here's basically what I thought should be the sign as you enter Santa Monica. Santa Monica, easy on bums, tough on citizens.
Yeah.
That's their motto.
Grab your ankles.
Now grab your ankles and spread your cheeks. Like, look, if you're basically a junkie who defecates on himself, come on down to our parks and pitch a tent. Yeah. We'll be serving miso soup about 6 a.m. and the bread line starts heating up about 10.
But don't dare smoke.
If you pay taxes or you dare to drive a car without a front license plate or light up a butt anywhere but your basement, be prepared for a thorough reaming. If you want to know what the world would be like with the lefty homos running the place, that's what it is. Come on down, bums.
Homos and hobos.
Yeah. Come on down, bums. Taxpayers, spread them. You're getting a good reaming. By the way, the guys who pay for the park can't use the park.
Right.
But that's all right. We'll be able to rape enough money from them via chicken-ass tickets for, smoking and parking and things having to do with, license plates and things like that. Fantastic. Nice. All right?
Yeah.
All right. That's what you get, everybody. Easy on bumps, tough on citizens. Hey, the guy, Dave from Seattle, that says is on the line. Dave?
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Dave, you're 35. Your last name is what?
It's actually, you were one of the few people that actually said it right, but you spelled it wrong. Last name is Roos, and it's R-O-O-S.
Ah. Roos.
It's R-O-O-S?
Right.
Yeah. No, I care. How dare you? How dare you? Because here's the whole thing. R-O-O-S is ruse, and that's fine. I have R-U-S-S in front of me. And then it says it rhymes with goose. So that's fine, except for I'm looking at the word Russ. What is that, Drew? Why do we have to do that here?
Radio.
Like, yeah. I'm curious about. It's like everyone spells my last name C O R O L L A and it's C A R. I'm curious of how it gets that way.
Yeah.
Did I get drunk and spell it that way? Fill out some application C O R, or did somebody just make it up and then run with it?
And then spread it around.
Yeah, I understand. Sorry. We have to be wrong about almost everything over there. But how does it get to R U S S?
Yeah.
All right.
Funny.
God love you, Dave. What do you do over there in Seattle?
I am a real estate investor, and I do something called site acquisition.
Mm-hmm. How's that work? More real estate stuff?
Yeah, it's all related to real estate. You know those cell phone towers that you complain so much about because there's not enough?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm the guy that finds the locations and negotiates the leases to mm-hmm. locate the antennas.
Awesome. Let me say this. You'll find this out when you attempt to use your cell phone here in Los Angeles that it works in about 40% of the area here. It's all right. L.A., not a big car town.
Nor do people use cell phones and stuff.
No. There's just anyone who knows L.A. knows business is done in person, and there's not a lot of time spent in the automobile. Okay. The cell phones break up everywhere in this godforsaken town. And if you try to go, you cannot. Here's the thing. Here's basically how it works in Los Angeles. There's a huge place called the Valley. That's where all the poor Goyim live. And then there's a huge place called the City. And there's more. That's where the poor Mexicans live. And then in between are the hills. That's where we live. And the point is if you want to drive from one part to the next, you can't continue your phone call. It breaks up because you're going through hills. It doesn't seem like that insurmountable an obstacle yet, no one has been able to work it out. And my question is, are they trying? How does that work? Do you have any idea about this, Dave?
It's all based on geography and the number of people using the cell phone in any given area. So there's certain things we just can't do. And if you're behind a bunch of trees, and I know there's not that many trees around there, but if you're in an area that's got big buildings and there's a bunch of people using the cell phone at that particular moment, you'll probably lose your signal.
Manhattan, wow. Manhattan, New York, Manhattan is one big skyscraper, yet you can waltz through the streets of Manhattan happily using your cell phone, and
anywhere.
You can't make it 10 feet in Los Angeles without the goddamn cell phone falling out. Now, it says to me that if they can work perfectly in Manhattan, and by the way, we're better off on our cell phones when we travel talking to people in L.A. than we are in L.A. talking to people in L.A., ironically.
Yeah.
Here's my plan, Dave. Tell me what you think of this. And this is just, this, by the way, this is just a sample. This is just a Hickory Farm sample of the kind of witty banter you're going to hear when you come in into the studio. I had this idea. I read something in USA Today that said like 53% of the country is gone to fake Christmas trees. And then I started, and then Jimmy told me he had a fake Christmas tree. And then I started realizing how bad the reception is in the hills. What if we heat up these Christmas trees? What if we take all the people with fake Christmas trees and turn them into cell phone receivers?
Antennas. Perfect.
It's brilliant. And my wife's going to kill me for saying this out loud, but I'm standing next to our fake Christmas tree right now. What is mid to late January? And
yeah.
it would make an excellent antenna.
And you could get, because that's what they do with the antennas anyway. They just take these fake pine trees and stick them everywhere. We do that with everybody. They leave the trees up year-round. The holiday spirit is felt in June, July, and August. And you get yourself a check from Verizon every month for like $18.29.
Hey, that's all good. But I want to hear Dave's story as to why he's donating the money for this godforsaken show.
By the way, I have the email I wrote my wife, who was my girlfriend back in 1997, saying, hey, there's this great show called Loveline. You got to listen. And been a fan since then. You guys do, as Adam would say, the Lord's work. I'm really excited to, even almost more than talk on the air, just hang out with you guys.
Yeah. We're going out to dinner, too.
Yeah, we got to go to dinner.
Good times.
And
actually, it does hit a little bit close to home. We, almost to the day, a month before the tsunami hit, were in Indonesia on those beaches.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So, I mean, you know, it's a good story, but it's not a near-death experience. But still, it could have been us. We wouldn't have known any better. We would have been hanging on the beach along with everybody else.
Well, Dave, we do honestly appreciate your generous donation, and we look forward to meeting you.
You, of course, because you are taking half, right?
Well, okay. Let me explain what happened. And I'm just going to be upfront with everyone who's listening. I announced when it was at, I think it was at about $12,000, $13,000, Drew.
Yeah.
That I needed to wet my beak, as we say in the business, that I needed a taste, because I feel like I'm the one who's, I'm essentially a broker. If you had any of the old hosts in on here, it'd be $1,800, maybe $2,000. But because of my personality, because of my Q rating, because of my personality, my wit, my charm, the cash register, I got the thing jacked up to $13,000. I'm saying that is a $10,000 more than you would have made if I wasn't here. Why shouldn't I get $5,000?
Yeah.
Why? And where's my incentive for the next time a tsunami hits? Do you know what I'm saying? What is my motivation? So here's how it works. And stop me if I'm wrong, Dave. You're a businessman. This is how these things work.
Thank you. I can't argue with it.
I know he agrees with me. Look, I have an agent. My agent jacks the price up on everything, and then I gladly give him a taste. Of course, it's 10%. It's not 40 or 50% like I'm asking for. But the point is, Drew, is I got us up to 13, and all I want is 5, and a good 8 is going to those poor Sumatrans, all right?
I just, you know, Diana Ross does the same thing. Why shouldn't you?
I did say, however, Drew, and I do believe you heard this, that if it did get to 15, then I got to 7,500. Again, I ratchet up.
And, that's true.
And I can't say I'm proud of it, but it's business. And we did get to 15. So that puts me at the 7,500 mark. And again, I don't want to take it, but if I didn't do it for this, then other people and other charities would complain when I did it to them. Do you understand?
Of course.
There's a precedent to be set. So what we're saying is we got it up to 15. That's the mark. I ratchet up to 75. Now, times two, I walk with 15. But the good people of Indonesia walk with 15 as well, and that's 15 more than they would have had if I was not born. Okay.
By the way, my apologies to Tom, the other auction winner, because he was at 12 grand, and then I started bidding and drove it up to 15. We ran out of time, and so there it landed at 15. But if I would have never came along, he would have only had to pay 12.
Right, in which case, I would have only got 5.
Did you hear that's his entire salary for his summer school class in astrophysics?
Yeah, I did. But just for the record, I purposely waited till today to pay for it because I got an extra 30 days on my credit card because of the new billing statement. So the $15,000 means a lot to me, too.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, look, it obviously, no matter how much you make, 15 grand
that's
is
a lot of
15
money.
Grand.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. It just is. It's if you make 15 for the year, it's a little more money. But the point is it's generous any way you slice it. And it's certainly 15 more or, I mean, collected your 75 along with his 75 after my cut. And you just make out two checks, one to I have a holding company. It's a Nevada-based corporation. I don't want to bore you with those details yet. Just bring the checkbook. And then, of course, the other one goes to the Sumatra Relief. What do they got over there, Drew?
Yeah.
Now, I know what it is, but where to take place?
Sri Lanka.
Where's Sumatra?
I don't know. Maybe it's Sumatra.
Look that up, Chris.
Sumatra is an island in Indonesia.
They were certainly affected by this tragedy.
Yes, of course.
Here's my point, Dave. Bring two checks, and we'll see you when we see you. When are you coming out?
I left producer Ann a message requesting, I think, February 23rd.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm going to be in the area, so hopefully I'll wait for you guys.
There's a good chance Drew will be chasing a nickel somewhere around the country, but you'll be able to hear him via the satellite.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And besides, you got the ace man, too, so don't worry about it. This is where the show is. This is the moneymaker right here. All right, should we take a little break, Drew?
Absolutely.
Where are we? Is it time to take a break?
Yes, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks, Dave. You're really, really a man after my own heart. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, love line, madam. That's Dr. Drew in Atlanta tonight. We will get back to the phones. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Kate's been on hold for 101 minutes, so I suppose we should speak to her. Kate?
Hello.
You're 18?
Oh, my Lord, I almost fell asleep.
You're calling from Alaska.
Yes, I am. Ooh. Thank you for answering my call.
It's earlier there, though.
It is about 10 or 11, but I actually have to leave the house at 5:30 every morning, so.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
It's about 10 or 11?
I'm not sure because I've been sitting around in a dark room for a long time with a telephone.
Oh, well, you gotta fire up the generator and figure out what time it is.
Yeah, you know.
Well.
Get out the batteries.
Is it an hour earlier than it is or two hours earlier?
It's at least two, yeah.
I believe it would probably be somewhere after 10. I really am not sure right now.
How about you orientate yourself and find out?
All right.
Because I'm curious.
All right, 1 second. But I actually had two questions for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Number one, I lost my virginity last week, and I was just wondering, is it normal to bleed 2 days later? Not like a lot, but just if there was just a tiny bit.
Yeah, it's not normal, but that can happen.
Okay.
When is your period due?
Well, That's the other question. I just started on birth control about 2 weeks ago.
That's actually where I was going to go next, because that kind of bleeding, that sort of mid-cycle bleeding, is real typical when you're on the pill.
Yeah, but you can tell the difference, you know, and it wasn't, like, menstrual blood. But
no, I know, but it's mid-cycle bleeding, which is very common when you're on the pill, and sex can further generate that.
Gotcha. So. But the other thing was, I started taking the pill right when I got it, which was 2 weeks after I got off of my period.
Okay.
And I was just wondering, when is it safe to not use protection?
Really, the second pack.
The second
pack? Go-around, yeah.
All right, thanks.
Where are you going at? What time is it, by the way? Find that out.
I'm searching for the clock, 1 second.
It's 10:33 over there.
Oh. Thank you.
Okay, Kate?
Uh-huh.
When Engineer Chris tells you what time it is in your state before you do, it is time to put a bullet in your head.
Well, just to think very hard about things.
Understandable. I'm sorry. By the way, I loved your lovely rendition of Felix the Cat.
Isn't that nice?
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
That was a good one.
And let me say this about Engineer Chris, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Brought his A game.
Tonight?
No, the last few nights.
Oh,
which is, cool. And let me clarify that, which is everyone else's C game, but it's still his A game.
He was nodding and laughing last night at things you said.
I don't know what's gotten into this kid, but he's looking up stuff on the internet. He's leaned over. The first 6 months he was here, I'd say, "How about that, Chris?" And he'd be staring off into the distance. He'd give that 1,000-yard stare that only Vietnam vets have.
Well, I was nervous. Now.
He was nervous, and he'd say, "Huh?" And then we'd have to do. Drew would have to hit him. He'd have to hit him with something reflective. Drew carried a small mirror in his wallet. We'd have to shine it, get Chris's attention.
Well, I thought you were going to ask me anyway, so that's why I looked it up.
All right. Well, good.
Hey, Chris,
smart,
look up
buddy.
What it was. Find out what it was that Howard Stern was freaking out about this morning that I had said. I'm very interested to know.
Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I also had one more thing.
Yeah.
When I got the pills and everything, the doctor that prescribed them told me that. You know how there's the new brand of birth control seasonal that comes that you only have to have your period once every 3 months.
Right.
Well, I asked her about that, and she said that that's pretty much just the normal pill. The only difference is that you keep taking it.
That's
and
correct.
I've actually heard that. Thing is, does it matter that I don't actually have my period and I just keep on going to the second pack?
Doesn't matter.
I may have already ovulated and everything.
Doesn't matter. Right. That's why you can do. That's why they have those products because
well,
it doesn't matter.
I just wanted to know right, because quiet. I started 2 weeks after I got off of my period, and I wasn't sure.
It should be fine. That's
okay.
All fine.
Well, hold on. Where are you going at 5:30 in the morning every morning?
At 5:30? Oh, I actually commute to school. I live an hour and a half away. So my senior year of high school, but I moved out of town because I moved out of my father's house, and I live with my cousin now. So.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Bad times. You sound pretty matter-of-fact about it, but that doesn't sound like a good move.
Oh, no, it actually was. My father and I get along fine when we don't live together. It's just that when we do, we we have our issues.
Where's your mom?
She died when I was 7.
Ugh.
Hmm. Yeah.
Attacked by a bull walrus or what happened?
Moose? Moose.
No, she
moose.
Actually had cancer.
From the goring that the moose gave her?
Not quite. No, she had a brain tumor.
Yeah.
Oh, my. I'm so sorry.
Horrible.
As lovely as it was talking to you, I think my phone will die at any moment. And I can't.
All right. Hang up on her. But it's so disappointing when people get cancer in places where, you know, avalanche would have been good.
Right.
Harpooned by a drunken local, you know, gored by a walrus, you know, something.
You know what people don't know about Alaska, is particularly Anchorage, that the distances are so great there that everyone has a Cessna. Everyone has a plane.
Yeah, with skis on it.
Right, or these giant balloon tires for field landings.
Right. There's outback pilots and, you know, one crashes every other weekend.
Yeah. That's what I thought she was going to say about her mom.
What are you going to do? Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Cancer's fine if you live in Chicago, New York, or Los Angeles, but you live in Alaska, you need an appropriate demise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would have accepted, a tuna boat capsized.
Mm-hmm.
A water landing went bad in a puddle jumper.
Uh-huh.
again, Kodiak bear attack, gored by moose, other acceptable ones. There's the general, general drunken.
Froze to death's
nice. Drunken miner, put a shiv, that kind of that. And that, by the way, that works in Nevada as good as it works in Anchorage.
Yes, indeed.
I'm trying to think, any indigenous animal is good. Anything that has to do with the temperature is nice. And then, got hold of some bad, seal blubber and choked. That's good. I'm trying to think of other very Alaska.
Ice climbing accident.
Ice climbing. Climbing a frozen waterfall. Glacier accident. Ran over by fast moving glacier is good. Oh, here's the best, though. The natives with the seal skin toss.
Yeah, yeah.
Thing busted hit her head on a rock.
And killer whales. Killer whales.
Ooh. Killer whale.
Yeah.
Killer whale's nice, yeah. That's a good one. All right, those all. And by the way, what do we give? 20?
20 what?
20 options.
Oh,
well, a lot to choose from. Choose from. All right, sad what happened to your mom, and she's very casual about not getting along with her father.
I know. Well, she seems mature, really. We've grown up early.
I think when your mom dies seven and you're raised by your dad who lives in Alaska, I picture by 11, cooking him dinner and you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Think of the difference between your daughter at 12 and her at 12.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
A lot of ice.
Yeah. Yours is inside some $500 skates and on the ice. She's chipping it away to get boil it to make water, make drinking water.
Right.
All right. Let's talk to Shelby. No, don't want to talk to Shelby. Here's one I like. Where's that one? Cousin, yeah. Dina?
Yes.
21?
Yes.
Your cousin is stealing your dirty underpants?
Oh, my. Oh, boy.
Wow.
Again, good-natured about it, though, Adam. I mean, jovial call.
Well, I'm going mad about it, but I beat up my best friend to, let out my anger, so it's
okay. Well, how do you know, first
you beat
off
up your best friend?
Hold
well,
on.
Well, you know, he doesn't care. He loves me, but he doesn't care, I just punched
him in the face. How do you know your cousin is stealing your underpants?
Well, because no one else is allowed in my house. My mom's, neurotic, so she, doesn't let anyone in the house, and I don't let anyone in my room except for her or, my best friend. I know he's not taking them. There's no way.
Why?
Well, because he would never fit in them.
No. But guys steal stuff like that, and they kind of...
Well, he's only been in my room, three or four times. I mean, even my mom doesn't stay in the living room.
They don't wear it. They don't wear the underwear.
I know. They smell them or whatever, but he's not, not that desperate. Jesus Christ.
Well... He probably has him on his head right now, feverishly masturbating. First off, I just got to say, if somebody would steal my soiled underpants, I might have to have at it.
I don't know what to do. And, if I do get them back, I'm major germaphobe, and I'm afraid to wear them.
Yeah, but girls don't steal one another's underwear. That really doesn't happen.
What is she
I'm sure it
for?
Could.
Girls are shady.
No, but they don't steal underwear. Why? Is there something special about your underwear?
Anything.
No.
You mean she wants the underwear for herself?
Yes.
Is there something special about your underwear?
Does she have a dog?
Yeah, they're really expensive. I buy underwear with, diamonds in them and, embroidery and this and that.
Diamonds?
Well, I love diamonds. Diamonds are a girl's best friend,
Does she have a dog?
I hope you mean sequins.
You know what I mean.
Well, how much
do you... The little cubic zirconias and all that kind of stuff, underwear that costs $100,
$100 underpants? And,
wow.
Dina,
I'm an only child, so whatever,
Sounds like your mom is super neurotic and making you neurotic, too.
Oh, yeah.
Is that true?
That could be true. I mean, my mom used to go through my stuff when I was younger all the time, but I just know, I mean, there's no one else it could be. It can't be my mom. She's afraid of thongs.
All right, do you say thongs?
Yeah.
She's afraid of them? So you're afraid they're gonna, but the Little House of Horrors are gonna come together.
Well, no.
My mom didn't have sex till she was 30.
Okay, Using someone else's thong is like using their toothbrush.
I know.
Or worse, on your ass. Dina, look, baby doll, you're 21. It's time to get out of the crazy house that you call home and get your own apartment.
I did move out, but then I had to move back in because I couldn't afford to live on my own and go to school. I'm putting myself through college. And
okay, it's time to go live in a dorm at school.
I go to a community college.
Oh, Adam. Are you shocked?
Hey, what's wrong with community college? Nothing.
Yeah, everything, baby.
No, there's not.
Yeah, high school with ashtrays. Nothing going on over there. Just a bunch of slackers wasting time and my money.
That is so not true.
Get to work, you losers. Just admit you're a crappy student. That's why you're there.
All right.
The BS bomb. Loud and clear, too.
What an eloquent point she made, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, touche. Hey, look, I'm big enough to admit when I'm wrong.
She's like that dude chick guy.
Yeah,
a little bit of that.
I beat up my best friend. I punch him in the face. You know, it's cool.
Yeah, she's like one of those chicks. It's like sort of, she's good looking in the sense she's got the bones, but humping her would be like humping one of your buddies, like kid brothers or something.
Right,
kind of wiry and weird. And it's...
That doesn't sound real female-like.
Right, right.
That's what we're all picking up on. So anyway, I'm looking to talk to people who are fearful of having sex while pregnant. Male, female, fearful of the baby, fearful of how they look. Mm-hmm. Let's get the show back on track here.
Doc, move your hand. I'm going down. I can squeeze another 10 minutes oral sex out of this before the kid crowns.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, love line. That's what I'm talking about. Unwritten law in here on Thursday night. Drew over there in Atlanta. And Jeremy, 28. Jeremy?
Hi, how you doing, Adam? Hi, Drew.
Hey. Sorry you've been on hold for so long, Jeremy.
Well, you got a lot of people you got to help, and, you know, they all appreciate it. Just waiting my turn.
Jeremy.
Boy, do I love this Jeremy.
Yes, oh, my goodness.
Well, thank you. Well, I love you guys. My question is about alternative methods of male birth control.
Yeah.
I was doing a little research online, and I found out about this method, and I guess they're doing clinical trials on it in India.
Yeah. Mm.
It's called reversible inhibition of sperm.
Uh-huh. Mm.
And basically the idea of it is that instead of doing what they do with a vasectomy, where they snip the vas deferens, they inject this chemical in there, which forms like a plug.
Right.
So it does the exact same effect, and the chemical will just stay in there for, I think, like 5 years, and after that it dissolves, so you can get it done again, kind of like how women get the Noraplant.
Right.
And I was just curious if you had heard anything about any clinical trials you're interested in doing to bring it to the U.S., whether you, Drew, had even heard about this process, because,
I know there are many different reversible vasectomies, basically, being explored. This, obviously, is one of them. But I'm not aware of any clinical trials for this particular technique.
But this is an injection, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the stuff that's been studied here,
procedure.
Yeah, is trying to incapacitate the sperm, trying to reduce the number of sperm or affect the motility, those sorts of things. There is something coming soon here, I'm sure of it, like within a year or two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, because the main thing is like the stuff I had heard about where people working with stuff with injections and trying to have a pill for the guys and doing hormonal stuff for guys.
Right.
It ends up having
very
like,
difficult.
Yeah, similar side effects to women, and it's more difficult to control. And this, it just, when I read about it, it was like it sounded so common sense that I was like, you think that our,
Yeah, but you would be amazed on your body's ability to recanalize things that are supposed to be opened to create that. I doubt that technique is going to be terribly reliable. Look, there when you do a vasectomy, when you cut and tie and burn, the body has a way of growing back and reconnecting a certain percentage of the time. So I think this will be a rather treacherous. I doubt that kind of thing will be a widespread use. People have some sort of fantasy about anatomy, that somehow if you correct anatomy or intervene on anatomy, that's all you got to do. But the body is amazingly resilient in terms of restoring its normal physiology.
Yeah, and I wonder, first off, call me old-fashioned, but, you know, I like to pull out.
Yeah, of course.
And, I'm a hamper finisher. I'm not going to lie to anybody.
That was a plant.
Potted fern. That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Actually, it had an old sock on it, so I mistook it. Right. Okay, you're right, Drew. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
The other thing is, we talk about, oh, this is going to cut down on population. I wonder how many guys are going to say they're on the pill or they had the shot or don't worry about it, babe, I took care of this. I mean, there is going to be that whole side of the male contraceptive story. Minerva.
Yes.
You're 22. Hi, guys. What's happening, baby love?
Well, I had a question, Ashley. I'm wondering if something's wrong with me or if anything's okay. Ashley, my problem is, well, I'm married, and my husband, he's a little older than me. He's also 22. But when we first got married, when I was...
Hold on. He's several weeks older than you? Because that can make a big difference. I got to tell you, I got to be honest with you. My grandfather was 3.5 weeks older than my grandmother.
No way.
They had nothing to talk about.
Okay.
There was a totally different era. Okay. She was born in, like January 1920, and he was later January 1920.
So there you go.
And so it'd be like Truman, who? Guy Lombardo, what? World War One? I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. His birthday is on November. Mine's on January.
And?
How's that? Is that better?
That's a pretty big difference.
Huge.
Is it really? Well, okay.
No. It's 8 months. It's a big difference if both of you are under two.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well, you know, going by that, when we first got married, when I was 18, you know, we're very sexually active, and we could go 3 times a day and, you know, whatnot. But now, actually, here, let me go before that.
Hold on, Minerva. I'm sorry. We're, like, out of time. But, like, here's the thing. Your husband doesn't want sex now. He just wants the oral sex, right?
Well, that's the first question. But the other question is, all of a sudden, I, like, turned 22, and now all of a sudden, like, maybe a week before I turned 22, I want to have it, like, every day now.
Okay. Well, it's because he doesn't want to.
Yeah, you're going to have to bend him. Whatever he's doing is not okay. He needs to step it up, and you, unfortunately, are going to have to sort of tug the leash a little and pull him in line.
Put him on notice, yes.
He will appreciate it in his own retarded way, but it's going to take a couple tugs on the leash. Go ahead and do that. We'll be back after this. Well, that's the show, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to Dr. Bruce tomorrow night. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Look. But imagine if you've had an abortion with the same guy.
I had three! Anal abortions, of course.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.